Hello, everyone. This is Matt from Room 310 Pro, and you are listening to Podcast-tastic Season 2, Episode 3. Today, I am joined by James Higginbotham of Pure Nintendo Magazine, your number one source for all things Nintendo. So, say hello, James.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Alright, no problem. And, for those of you who do not know him, he actually interviewed us for our charity marathon, Let's Play for Child's Play 1. He was supposed to be a guest call-in, but due to unfortunate circumstances, he was not able to call in because we did not finish that marathon. Better luck next year. As you may have noticed, the intro music is a little bit different this time around. Instead of our usual podcast intro, we have the OC remix called Super Buck Cherry Super Mario Bros. 2 Jazz Remix. You can pick that up at ocremix.org. It is absolutely free. Anyway, James is here to talk with me about Nintendo and the Wii U and these new directions that Nintendo seems to be going. We have started with E3 coverage here. People seem to be getting a little bit worried here about Nintendo and how they seem to be publicizing the Wii U, and, you know, are they up to the task with this new generation of consoles coming out? So we're going to go ahead and start with just talking about E3 and move on from there. I didn't get to be there myself. James, were you there?
I wasn't, but my crew was. I'm actually getting married in a couple of months, so I decided to save my funds and time for the wedding and honeymoon. My crew was there.
All right. Did you watch the live broadcast?
I did.
All right. What did you think?
It actually kind of sucked, in my opinion. In all of our opinions, it actually really sucked. Nintendo seemed like they were about there, because it was theirs to take. Like, I watched, this is the first year, because I was actually here, the first year in a long time I was able to watch Sony's and Microsoft's press conference, and it was Nintendo's to take E3. All I had to do was announce the Wii U, show off a cool game, and everyone would have been excited and happy, and we probably wouldn't have been having this conversation now. But they didn't. They dropped the ball, and they just, besides Pikmin, were you excited about anything?
I mean, Zombie U looked okay, and then of course you have the standard Mario platformers, which, I mean, I'm always confident in those, but there was nothing that was really over the top that I saw that I was just clamoring to get right away.
Mm. Even Nintendo's 3DS little show that they had that night, I think it was.
Yeah, the 6 p.m. one.
Yeah, it was a little underwhelming. It was all games that we already knew about. Right. Nothing new.
That later Nintendo Direct that came out only a couple weeks ago, You can kind of see, it's like you knew why they were holding back for just this one midnight announcement with the 3DS XL, and they're talking about, you know, all these new games are coming out and what this means for their social gaming persona that they seem to be tacking on to Nintendo nowadays. And that seemed to have got a lot of people excited. And, of course, after that, people just kind of cleared their heads and said, well, how come they didn't announce this at E3? Mm-hmm. Or even at the first Nintendo Direct right after E3?
Yeah. And the reason for that is, actually, wrote an article about this, is that E3 is changing. It's evolving with the industry. The industry is changing. It's going more casual with the Wii, the Kinect, the Move. Everyone's press conference, not just Nintendo, Sony's, and Microsoft, had that casual feel. They each had these big games, like Halo 4 and Pikmin at Nintendo, but it was a lot of focus on casual play. And the reason for that is that video games are going mainstream. 3 years ago, even four years ago, no one knew what E3 was except for us hardcore gamers. Now CNN's covering E3, Fox News is covering E3, your mom and pop blog spots covering E3. It's just, E3 is a casual beast now than they used to be, and so that's why that's why all these presentations focus more to the casual.
Right.
appease the casual crowd, the greater masses, and then the Nintendo Direct is more for us hardcore gamers, and that's where they announce the new 3DS revamp and all these new 3DS games, all these bigger hardcore announcements.
Right. But isn't E3 also for, like, investors, too? So... Yeah,
exactly. Nintendo had to, on that same thought of the casual, the mass market, the general market, was more impressed with the E3 presentations. Nintendo be like, here's what we have. Let's get the casual gamers excited for this. Then our investors would be like, okay, good, a lot of people are excited for this. And then we'll work on our hardcore gamers 2 or 3 weeks later on a Nintendo Direct.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see that. But I'm not sure if that strategy actually worked, as we saw with the fervor out there with, you know, other game journalism websites out there, some of the bigger ones, Game Informer, GamesIndustry.biz, Kotaku probably did something about that. I mean, everyone seemed very underwhelmed with Nintendo, and if there are, you know, people out there in the more major networks who are just kind of reaching an ear and listening to these other, you know, game journalist ones, there could just be kind of like that shockwave that kind of goes up through there, and that might not work to Nintendo's favor.
No, it honestly didn't. It backfired on them. I think it backfired on everyone.
Oh, yeah.
The company had the greatest showing was Ubisoft. Their presentation was fantastic. They showed a lot of new cool things, and everyone was excited about the Ubisoft presentation.
Yeah, and the most important thing they did was they showed what the Wii U gamepad can do with these games, and why you should go back, and maybe if you played... Arkham Asylum on Xbox, why you should go back and buy it for Wii U because of these extra features here.
Exactly.
Yeah, besides the Mario games, I just was kind of underwhelmed by everything. I was hoping for some Pikmin, but they just said, here's Pikmin 3, and then we moved on from there.
Exactly. Exactly. And it was just, like, that was, for me, the highlight. The rest of it was all right. Like, I'm not a little upset about it, but they made it up to a lot of people, and me with the Nintendo Direct. I was not expecting any of that from Nintendo Direct, because usually Nintendo Directs aren't that exciting. Like, we get super excited for them, but they're not that exciting. But I was actually watching the NBA Finals. It was Game 5. So I was into that, so I was kind of casually watching the Japanese one at the same time, and then all of a sudden I saw this new 3DS pop up, 3DS XL. I did not expect that. Like, I knew a 3DS was coming, but I thought it'd be probably early next year, not now.
Right.
So that grabbed a lot of people's attention with that.
Yeah, I thought that was nice, but I wish they had that second circle pad already in there.
No, I agree. They might as well put it in there if they're going to have, because they came out with a new Circle Pad Pro.
Yeah, they had to come up with another Circle Pad Pro, which I thought was kind of, you know, counterproductive for them.
Exactly. But they do what they want, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's worked for them so far.
Like, I don't know if you saw the Q&A from the investors meeting last week. It actually came out in English today.
Oh, did it? I saw parts of the translation from other sites. I think somebody looked at This Is Game and translated some of that off.
Yeah, like, Iwata was asked about Nintendo's plan and how they've been pursuing the layout of the Wii and 3DS, and they're like, well, how we are at a company, we're not going to change. We're going to keep doing what we're doing, and it should work for the 3DS and Wii U. But he did admit that the 3DS is kind of flat outside of Japan, and they're working on that, and they're hoping to get the Wii U. Have the Wii launch exceed the 3DS launch, because they screwed up, basically, with the 3DS launch in Europe and America.
Yeah. Because they kind of brushed that under the rug sometimes, because they were just, you know, hinting at... I think when the 3DS was first announced, that was also when the Wii U was first announced, right? And they just kind of showed off that gamepad?
No, 3DS was showed off 2 E3s ago.
Okay.
And then the Wii U was last E3, was the first time we saw it.
That's right. They really seem to be trying to push things around now and saying, you know, you have your 3DS, now we're going to make it worth your while to own that 3DS. And to make sure it's connected to the internet.
Exactly, like the 3D. Like, actually, did you buy the 3DS at launch?
I did not. I waited because I figured the price was going to go down, and it did. I still haven't purchased it yet, but, you know.
Yeah, I bought it at launch, and I played. I bought Street Fighter and Nintendogs. It was a good game because it uses almost everything the 3DS does with AR cards and everything. And I played everything for about 2 weeks, and I just put my 3DS down. Picked it up, played a little bit of Ocarina of Time, put it down. Until, really, a couple months ago when Nintendo actually started pushing new 3DS games and the eShop channel. And now we have a whole bunch of great 3DS games that come out, like new Final Fantasy game that came out, Rhythm 1.
Theater Rhythm?
Yes.
I gotta admit, that game looks pretty fun.
It does look really fun, and then Kingdom Hearts comes out later on this month.
Not so excited about that one. I played the first two games, and it was fun, and then when they started coming out for the handhelds, I kind of lost track of the plot, and then when I saw the latest trailers, I saw a lot of people that I supposedly killed in the second one, and I'm like, what's going on here? So I'm just kind of way lost on that series, but... Yeah,
so the first two, I had a friend who had them, and I kind of watched him play it, so I'm kind of a newbie at it, so maybe... That's why I'm more drawn to it.
It's a fun game, and it's really easy to get into if you're not familiar with the gameplay. It's really easy to pick up and go.
That's good.
But I mean, besides these new games, like we have the Kingdom Hearts game, we also have like the Professor Layton game, the new one coming out. And not only is that game coming out, but Nintendo's promising these new puzzles coming out once a day, like every day, I believe, right? For a whole year?
For Professor Layton, and also new levels for the Mario Brothers.
Right, Super Mario Brothers 2, but I think those ones are going to be paid.
Yes.
But, I mean, that just seems like a great idea to own the 3DS at this point, just for that constant support of these games that are coming out. And that's where they seem to really, you know...
Nintendo dropped the ball on the Wii and everything else. It's kind of like, except the DLC.
Yeah.
Like, well, let's have something, like, this was a fun game, give me a little bit more. And Nintendo always recently have said that their DLC won't come out with half games like you get sometimes. Like, here's a game, and then you have to pay $20 to get the rest of the game. Nintendo always said that they're going to complement their games, like the Mario games come out with extra levels. If the Professor Layton came out with extra puzzles. Or missions, I don't know what you would consider them.
Oh, sorry, what's that?
Yes, that's a nice new direction that Nintendo's doing now that they haven't been doing in the past. And it has gotten me excited as far as Nintendo seems to be catching up now with everyone, with the involving video game industry, even with the iPhones. You can quickly download something new, or like, you know, Angry Birds comes out with new levels every once in a while, and so it's the same. Losing my train of thought, sorry.
That's all right, man. We're actually going to go ahead and take a break real quick, and we'll be back to talk about the Wii U a little bit more. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Podcast-tastic. I'm Matt, and I am getting joined by James, and we are going to talk about what direction Nintendo wants to go with the Wii U. Alright, so we talked about the 3DS and how they're trying to really push the social and the online capabilities of the 3DS. And we've seen some of that with the Wii U, what with the Miiverse. What were your thoughts on that one?
I actually really did like it more than other people did. Like, I like the idea of pausing the game, that Skype-type atmosphere where you can video chat someone or gloat about how well you did in the game. I'm always about gloating and showing off how many games it was. It's something that held me. The Wii Mii's should have been in the first place. Like, they should have that type of interaction with each other all the way back with the Wii. I'm glad to finally see that in the Wii U and the Miiverse.
Right. It really does seem, like, accessible. I think the only problem people have with it right now is, or just the main problem, is the moderation of chat, where it could take a little while for your words to reach your friends.
That is true, yeah. But Nintendo, I believe they're working on it, because, like I stated before, that they're behind the curve of video games. So this is the first segue into HD, into this online community. So there's a learning curve for them, and it's nice to see that they're at least trying. And hopefully they don't drop the ball and try and just kind of leave it there. They keep going with this learning curve, and implementing, fixing, and changing things, and making it better, which I think they are, because they realize how important this connectivity is between gamers.
Right. Yeah, I like the idea that, again, what you said about you're in the middle of the game, but you can kind of pause it real quick and then, you know, chat with your friends who are maybe in the same part of the game or something, and just have a little discussion about that, which, you know, I thought was kind of, it's a little thing that could really, you know, be convenient.
Yeah, like playing Skyward Sword recently, like, it's a lonely game. It's a great game. I love the game, but it's kind of lonely. You never, kind of like, you talk to your friends, hey, where you at? Oh, I'm in such and such dungeon. Oh, that's cool. And you kind of move on. Maybe they can bring a game like that and help you interact. Like, hey, I'm stuck in the water temple. Does anyone know how to get past this part? And so your friends can help you out with a single-player game like that. Still keeping it a single-player game, but yes, brings in your friends to help you. More involved.
Right. And I do like the whole screen capture thing where you can kind of take one, say, hey, I'm stuck here, you know, exactly right here, and people will instantly know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because Nintendo had this kind of with, I don't know if you played Metroid Prime 3.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I got that Trilogy Edition as well.
Yeah, and remember at the end you can take screen captures throughout the game, and then you can take a screen capture of how much you complete or whatever, and you can send it to your friends. They kind of had this in the Wii, but it was it was lackluster.
Right.
So it's nice now they're fleshing that out and making it even better.
Oh yeah, I definitely would agree with that one right there.
Uh-huh.
And with all this social stuff and the cameras, and then even the second screen, it really seems like the Wii U is trying to be not just, you know, a video game console, but just and trying to be an everything machine. I mean, not to stretch the hyperbole, but, I mean, it's taking care of internet browsing, it's taking care of social networking.
Your TV, even? Yeah. Controlling the TV,
you can play on the controller while somebody else is watching TV. It's really trying to handle it all, and I kind of, like, am worried if it's, you know, stretching itself too thin. And we get all these features, but these features, you know, are not up to snuff.
That is, you are echoing the same issues we had last E3. Is that they probably have the problems and all this cool stuff, but it's kind of like, wait, take small steps, go HD, make better internet, and then let's see where it goes from there. Not, like you're saying, stretching yourself out and like, hey, we're going to hit this market, this market, this market, this market.
Right.
I don't know if they can do it. We'll see if they can do it. They are trying to do a lot at once. And hopefully it doesn't cave in on them.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're also at a tough spot, too. I mean, they're really stretching themselves thin, but they also have to really prove themselves to still be a company that's in there with the competition with Microsoft and Sony. Especially now that there's rumors floating around that next E3 we're going to be seeing their next generation consoles.
Yeah, I'm curious exactly what those are going to That can be a different discussion.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, again, the Wii U has to prove itself not only to be, you know, a high-performance machine, but a long-lasting one. Because this past console cycle has been the longest one yet.
And this next console could very rarely be one of the last. Not the last, but the second to the last of that.
Right. I mean, I kind of see that, but I don't. I think they'll still kind of really want to continue coming out with consoles just to kind of make that income in there. And also, you know, hardware is just going to keep progressing. I don't know how far the limit is, but I don't know how close we are to it. And it's not exactly easy to, like, upgrade hardware and still keep the same console.
Yeah, well, a lot of it could go with the cloud-based service.
Because
wasn't Sony just bought out a cloud-based company?
Yeah, Sony just acquired Gaikai for about $380 million.
Yeah, and so, I don't know, it's just, because they don't make a lot of money on the system. Like, Sony's just now making money. Nintendo made money right off the bat with the system just because of the components used.
Right, it was another innovative console, and it got a lot of people into gaming, even if it's just, you know, the Wii Sports.
Mm-hmm. And even to this day, there's a mother I know just bought Wii for her kids, and they love Wii Sports, and that's what she enjoys playing with them too. And this is, what, 6 years later almost? Even 6 years after its launch, it's still bringing people in.
Right. But, and I guess that's a good thing for the Wii U, that it's still, you can still play the Wii games on it, and it still control has all the Wii peripherals that you can use on the Wii U.
Exactly.
So that was a good move on their part. Have you gotten a chance to hold the gamepad at all, or any of your crew?
I have held it before. And it is a lot nicer than you think it is. But then it may come out to be. Like, I am a big Halo player. And so I get my fair share of first-person shooters. And so that's what I first thought when I saw the Wii U. Like, all right, you want to go this hardcore route. This controller looks weird. I was like, oh, first-person shooters, but as you put it in your hand, it's a lot lighter than it looks. And all of the buttons, the trigger buttons, two trigger buttons, all the other buttons, the thumbsticks, all fit comfortably in your hand. And I'm right in a comfortable distance apart, where it would work very well for shooters.
Right. It's not just this brick with a screen on it.
Yeah, it looks like it could be like 5 pounds, but it's very, very light and comfortable where the buttons are placed.
Alright, I mean, I can think you can see that, because I believe they said that the controller is also run partway, the graphics are run through it from just the main Wii U console itself, right?
Say that again?
I believe that the graphics that are run through the screen are being run through the main Wii U console, right?
Yes, yes.
And that's why you can only have so many gamepads attached to it. Which is, I'm glad they found a way to get up to two instead of just one.
The question is, how well? Because they kind of hinted that frame rate drops, and it just, if someone wants to use two, they can. They just have to figure out the best way to use it, if that makes sense.
Right. No, like, I understand that.
And that's what a lot of people have issue with. Spec-wise with the Wii U, because there's a lot of processing going to that pad that could be used for other things. And my argument is, why you don't have to use a pad. You can use the controller plus, or just turn off the pad screen if you really wanted to.
Right.
Use all of its processing power on a super awesome game. And that's what I think a lot of people are overlooking. Even game journalists are like, well, processor, like half the processor have to go to process into the pad. That is true, but you don't necessarily have to use the pad. You focus totally on just on graphics and use the whole power of the machine on your game engine if you want to.
Yeah, that's true. Again, they did come out with that, or they did show the GamePad Plus, or the, what was it called again? It was just, you know, the controller pad plus. People thought it was reminiscent of an Xbox controller or a PlayStation controller, which is not bad at all.
That's a very nice and comfortable controller as well, is what my guys were telling me. That's what I was very curious about. It feels very nice, comfortable. It's perfect weight. Like, you know, the classic controller was kind of light, so it felt weird in your hand. It's perfectly weighted.
Right.
Fits comfortable in your hands.
Yeah, I never got used to the classic controller in my hand.
No, it was too light and felt fake. I have to break it.
Yeah.
That's my biggest complaint.
I mean, and then just going back to the gamepad real quick. I mean, you were talking about you don't have to use it for these games if you don't want to. But then you have to ask yourself the question, you know, I'm just trying to be devil's advocate here.
Uh-huh.
Why have the gamepad at all now?
Honestly, Nintendo's screwed using the gamepad. Like, they have to. All their games, they kind of put themselves in the corner. They have to use the gamepad because it came out with it. But third parties, I think, could get away with not using it because it's not their system. So someone like Crytek or Activision can be like,
Right.
Without the gamepad. And people can overlook it because, you know, hey, it's this third party. They want to push the graphics more. But Nintendo's kind of stuck in the corner. They have to use the gamepad. Or we'll be asking that question. Why aren't you using your gamepad? You're pushing it on us. Why aren't you using it?
Right, why did we have to pay for this gamepad if you're not going to give us games that utilize this?
Exactly. And so, I think that's what Nintendo's talking to third party. They have to be talking to third parties about, like, hey, help us push this gamepad at first, and maybe later on you guys can focus, we'll let you guys release a game that doesn't use it, so you can really push the Wii U. That has to be a conversation going on now, because I'm not the only one who realizes this. It has to be other game developers.
Yeah, it has to be all Nintendo games and at least all of the third-party games that they announced at E3 have to utilize that gamepad. Because a lot of those games are already games that came out for previous systems. So you really have to justify people buying Mass Effect 3 again.
Yeah. And they have a year or so to do that. Like, they have a year head start, so they can push the pad for the whole hardcore year, and then when whatever the next Xbox system or the PlayStation system comes out, you're going to be like, okay, here's what the Wii U can do as well, and then push it even further. That makes sense.
Oh, no, that makes total sense. And I'm actually really interested to see what Microsoft does in response to the Wii U. We've already seen Microsoft Surface and Microsoft Glass. And they were really, like, saying, hey, look, you can have this application on your mobile phone, and it works, you know, I don't know if they actually said it, but it's like, it works just like the gamepad on the Wii U, except, you know, it's not a big clunky machine. Look, you know.
Exactly. That's why I'm curious what they're going to do as well. That I can see Microsoft going, bumping up the graphics a little bit, and then go pushing more casual. Like coming out with a Kinect 2, that's really, really awesome.
I believe I heard rumors that there is going to be like a Kinect 2.
Yeah, it'd be Kinect 2. And so, like, so that's why I think Nintendo may be okay, like, spec wise and graphically wise, hanging with the next generation. The only company that I won't say worries me, because worry means I care a lot, but I would be concerned with trumping the Wii U's graphics would be PlayStation, because they mentioned at E3 that they are willing to be the most expensive to be the most powerful.
Right.
And so they would be willing to come out with another $500, $600, $700 system just to be the most powerful. And I can see Sony, Microsoft being like, here's another $350 system. We threw in some more RAM, we have the processor, but here we're really focusing on Kinect and our Glass technology.
Right.
That's where the real money's at, is with those casual gamers who like those type of games. But like Just Dance, one of the ISO games of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always blown away when I see that list. It's Just Dance is right up there with, you know, all these multi-million dollar development titles.
And it's cheap. Like, it costs probably 15% of the cost of, like, Modern Warfare did to produce. And so they're making a ton of money off of Just Dance games.
Right. And just on a quick tangent, I saw that Sing game that they were going to come out with, they showed on E3, and that just looked awful.
Yes, no. I hated everything about that.
I mean, it just looked like a karaoke machine, and someone was just holding a gamepad in one hand and a microphone in the other hand.
I don't know if you saw the graph that came out by NeoGAF. It would show people's interest during the press conferences, and when that came up, it's dropped.
I'm not surprised. That commercial looked like no party I've ever been to.
Point I don't want to go to.
Oh yeah, when someone's just out there in the next to the TV singing, "All right, everybody, clap your hands." It's like, no, nah, I'm gonna go ahead and keep talking here. But I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we haven't covered yet about the Wii U or the 3DS. I mean, there hasn't been any rumor of this, but I just kind of wonder in the back of my mind if they're going to have some kind of connectivity between the 3DS and the Wii U, like a direct one, not just like the Nintendo Network sharing.
Yes, I think so. I wonder if this was a rumor or if it came out. It was a patent. Some weird patent came out where the Wii U can detect when you're home with your 3DS. Like, it's communicating somehow. I guess through your wireless network, possibly. So when you come home, your Wii U knows that you walked into your house or within the wireless signal. And Nintendo was asked the other day, is there going to be any connectivity to that? They're like, we're not going to comment on that, which is their answer of, we're not going to talk about it right now.
But yes, basically.
But yes, basically, yes. So there is, because they want to push them both together, hand in hand. Two different platforms. The DS was like its own thing, and the Wii's kind of its own thing. They want to bring them together. And that's one reason for the pads, because so many people used to, I guess, having something in their hand, kind of like a handheld. You'd be like, hey, you like the Wii U, the 3DS, and vice versa. Hey, you like having the 3DS in your hand, try out the Wii U pad. It's similar in the sense that there's a screen in your hand.
If they can figure out, if Nintendo can figure out some way to use that 3DS with the Wii U to play games directly or indirectly.
Why not, like, another controller?
Right, exactly.
Exactly. You can have one pad and three 3DSs, or two pads and two 3DSs, or someone.
And, I mean, if you could just make the Wii U say, hey, this is a 3DS, bump down the engine a little bit for certain games, then, you know, that can work out. And that can really edge out, like, Sony, who were really trying to push that transparring. Which I just recently learned, you know, the whole thing behind that. I didn't know that you had to have two copies of the same game to actually have that transpar go through.
No, yeah, it's one of those things that sounded really cool, but they kind of dropped the ball with it as well. And that's why I think the 3DS will work well. So with the Wii U pad, you kind of still have to be within shouting distance of the Wii U console. But maybe you can take the game actually fully with you across the country with your 3DS.
Right.
And play there, which would be really cool.
Or you can even say, like with Apple, with their FaceTime, you can kind of have that with the 3DS kind of hooked up on one end, and then you can kind of like make a house call, you know, all the way across the country with you and the 3DS, and then whoever you're talking to with their Wii U.
Exactly. That would be really cool as well. Man, that'd be really cool.
I'd be interested in that. Not so sure about the whole the Wii detects you, or the Wii U detects you when you get home. That starts getting a little bit creepy, you know?
No, it really was. And it was just a patent, and they patent a lot of things. So
That's true. I remember that football patent they came out with. Oh, man, I want to say about 5 years ago, where you stick the Wii U, the Wii controller, into like this, you know, this foam football. I can't imagine. All right, well, I think that does it for now.
All right, good.
I can't think of. Oh wait, no, I got one other thing. Just to go back to Nintendo Land real quick. It was just kind of in the back of my mind. They said something about Nintendo Land not only being on the 3DS and the Wii U, but just being on web-enabled devices, period. And I thought that was interesting, because that's Nintendo really kind of reaching outside their comfortable bounds.
That is true. They haven't really talked about that much since that announcement.
Because the way they make it sounds like I'm going to have like a Nintendo Land app on my iPhone, and I can access Nintendo Land that way. Which, yeah. I don't think Nintendo actually has any kind of app store applications out there, do they?
No, they don't. None of their stuff's used on the App Store.
Right. I remember there was a rumor that, you know, some Pokemon stuff was going to be on there, but that got quashed pretty quickly.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see what they do with that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if they play the cards right there, you know, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I don't know if I feel comfortable with saying this, but it could be another Google Plus.
Yeah. While we use Google Plus.
While we use Google Plus. The Hangouts are great, I gotta uh-huh. say. But yeah. The fact that nobody's on here is kind of bad from a PR perspective.
Exactly.
But, yeah, the last time I used this was again for another Hangout. And trying to get into that room was horrible. Because so many people just, like, just try to crush in there as soon as they can. It fills up to 10 rooms. So you have to get in there as much as you can. Otherwise, you're slow outside clicking and refresh over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get in, it says, oh, you didn't get in. But below it is a picture of, like, robots having a party. But then it's seeing it through a window, and there's, like, a sad robot looking through uh-huh. a window at all these other robots having a good time.
That's super sad.
That's really sad. And I was like, that's actually kind of mean, too.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look who got left out of the party.
You did.
Yeah, you did. I eventually got in. And, I mean, it was fun for the 5-10 minutes before his internet cut out, and we had to start a new chat room. Oh. And that got cut out again. But, you know, otherwise, this Google Plus Hangout, it seems to work pretty well.
I'm impressed. I'm going to use it more.
Yeah, I think I'll be using it for future podcasts as well. Uh-huh. And maybe for Let's Play for Child's Play 2. Speaking of, though, when is your next charity event?
I'm going to talk about it. It's only the MLK weekend. So was that second, third weekend in January?
Okay.
And so that would probably be our next one.
Oh, man. I just lost him. All right, people, stand by for that. All right, it seems as though we have lost James. If you were listening to this message, that means we could not get him back. I'm sorry that we had to end the podcast so abruptly, but such is the way of technology. I want to thank James for being on this podcast and talking with me about the 3DS, the Wii U, and Nintendo's direction. I want to thank all of you for listening to this episode of Podcasttastic, and we will see you sometime in the future.